Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're going to be talking about God is by your side. God is with us in everything that we do. And I've just been thinking about meditating on this idea about how Jesus's side, when he was on the cross, they pierced his side. And Thomas wanted to put his hand into the side of Jesus. And just thinking about the symbolism of how Jesus now is on our side, can be by our side. I'm thinking of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where it says, he who joins himself to the Lord becomes one spirit with him, becomes one in spirit with him. That we can take God into our everyday life. He can be by our side in everything that we do. But we're going to get into this just a little bit more. Let's get started with our 30-day prayer challenge prayer. And doing the other half of prayer for a couple minutes here, and then we'll get into the training for today. But if you're new to us here, the 30-day prayer challenge is the place to start. Our whole program, the Abundant Life Blueprint, started for me with Proverbs 13:22, that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's more valuable than money that I could pass on? And the book of Proverbs says that wisdom is more valuable than gold and silver and precious stones and all these things that we typically chase after. And so I made it my goal to pass on lessons for every area of life. And when I got started, I had no clue where to start, but God has been so faithful. When I made the commitment, God began to show up and to teach me and to train me. And it turned into a whole program with books and courses and so much more than I could have ever dreamt of. And out of everything we do, the first thing I would want to get established in somebody's life is this 30-day prayer challenge process. If it's about a 2-minute long prayer, mostly of scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez. And then we take a couple minutes to do the other half of prayer, to get still, to listen, to evaluate how we're doing, to plan our day with God, and then trust that as we go about and execute the things that we know to do, God's with us. He's by our side, helping us do these things. And so this other half of prayer is also leads us into communion, because it tells us in Corinthians that it's good to examine ourselves before we take communion. And so this time of prayer and reflection and planning with God and evaluating how we're doing is also a time of examining ourselves to keep us on track and lead us into our time of communion. But let's get started with the 30-day prayer challenge prayer. And then we'll do the other half of prayer. But Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening to this video, all their families, their friends, those connected to them. I pray for all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And I just thank you that you are by our side. You are among us as one who serves, and you are by our side in everything we do. And Father, I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, we ask you to bless us. To bless our time here together today. Let us all come away with practical things that we can implement, along with feeling challenged and encouraged and inspired all at the same time. We ask you to expand our borders and our territory, expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and your love and your goodness and all that you want to do in our lives, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world, starting with the people right around us. We ask you to keep your hand on us. Help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders. Keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, let's take just a couple minutes to do the other half of prayer. So let's start with, what were your wins? How can we gain some encouragement over the wins that you had over the last 24 hours? What are the things you got done? What are the good things that happened? What are the ways you saw God showing up in your life over the last 24 hours? And if you have something you can write with, you can begin to write these things down. Or if you go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com, you can find some additional insights into this prayer on our free tools and resources page, along with a tracker that you can use to go through this other half of prayer and a written copy of the prayer as well. But what were your wins over the last 24 hours? And then how was your emotional state over the last 24 hours? How were your levels of peace and joy and confidence in God? And remember, it's like a light switch. Either it was on and flowing in your life, God's supernatural peace, his joy, confidence in him because he's with you and everything that you're doing. Or it was not. And it could be a case where it was on and flowing for a while, but then I got distracted. Something got me off track, and it's working to stay more consistent and sustaining his presence being with you in everything you do. And if the answer was just no, I was stressed, I was frustrated, I was worried, I was whatever, that was my state, then the solution is simple. Get your eyes fixed back on God, that he's with you, he's by your side, he's there helping you in everything you do, and get more present in your day. Often we're worrying about the past or the future or dwelling on these things. Get more present in your day. Show up, do the things you know to do today, and focus on executing them, trusting God's by my side. He's with me. He's among me as one who serves. And then, what do you know to do over the next 24 hours, over the next day, today? What do you know to do today? Not the things you are uncertain of that you might have to do one day. What are the things that you know to do today? And it might be some little things, administrative things or errands you need to run, day-to-day things that you need to do. But then we want to get past that and say, all right, what's one thing I could do today to really move my life forward? What's one thing I could do that I feel God's been stirring on the inside to do? Maybe there's opportunities coming today and being more aware today as opportunities come to do good. Being more aware of those opportunities is just the people around you seeing opportunities to do good. They're all hidden throughout your day. Every day they're there. And then God, just a simple question. God, what is the most important thing you were trying to teach me or trying to show me over the last 24 hours? God is always, he's by our side. He's always trying to help us. He's always trying to teach us, to train us. And if we're willing to listen and be coachable and trainable, he will teach us which way to go. He will teach us how to grow, how to do things his way. So I've been thinking about, the other day we did this communion meditation on how Jesus, and I forget the name of the communion meditation right off the top of my head, but a couple of days ago we did the communion meditation where we're talking about Jesus's side was pierced. He's on the cross, and it was getting to be a Sabbath day, and so they didn't want the bodies of the three guys, the two criminals and Jesus, remaining on the cross. They wanted them to be dead and this thing to be over with. And so they go over and they break the legs of the two criminals to accelerate things and cause them to die faster. But when they come to Jesus, he's already dead. And the prophecies written about Jesus, I don't know how long before this, probably hundreds or thousands of years before Jesus ever was on the cross, the prophecy said that not one of his bones would be broken. So he's fulfilling prophecy. And then Jesus, knowing when it was all done, asked for a drink of the vinegar to fulfill his oath, saying, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. He fulfills it. He says, I'm thirsty, and he drinks of it, and then he bows his head, says, it's finished, and gives up his spirit. Well, they come over to him. He's already dead. And instead of breaking his legs, they stab him, pierce him through on his side, to make sure that he's dead. And it says that a sudden flow, now I remember the name of the teaching from the other day, it is finished, a sudden flow. That when he was pierced, it was a sudden flow of blood and water. And I've been thinking about this. Jesus's first miracle. I don't know where we're going with this. This is some part of what we're doing today. I'm just talking about some things that I've been meditating on. I've been thinking about Jesus's first miracle, turning water into wine. I'm reading last night in 1 John. It says, there are three that testify, the spirit, the water, and the blood. And I may not have the order correct there, but 1 John chapter 5, I believe it is. It says there are three that are testifying about what Jesus did, the spirit, the water, the blood. I'm thinking back, I was just doing my I call it my Bible writing, where I do scribing of the Bible, where I hand copy passages of the scripture. And I was in Exodus just the other day. And the very first plague that happens, the water is turned into blood. The water is turned into blood. And we talk about there's this connection, the symbolism of blood and wine being kind of interchangeable. Somehow there's this connection that God is trying to get through to us. Somehow this concept is related. By our side, blood and water. And I'm still thinking through these connections, but these are some things I've been meditating on. Jesus is pierced on his side. Thomas says, I'm not going to believe unless I put my fingers in the holes of his hand, and I put my hand into his side. This idea of the side, this was big to the disciples. They knew what had happened to his side. And somehow there's this connection between the blood, the water, the spirit, all of these things being connected. I've been thinking about this, these concepts. And then last night, I'm thinking about this, and I'm started thinking about Adam and Eve. God began to bring to mind these thoughts about Adam and Eve. God says, it's not good for Adam to be alone. It's not good for man to be alone. I'm going to make him a helper. And so he causes Adam to go into a deep sleep. And in Genesis, I believe it's chapter 2, verse 2, it says that God opened up his rib and took one of his ribs. When I looked at the Hebrew word for that word rib, it's interesting. Almost every other time in the Old Testament, that word for rib is translated as side. Think about, where is your rib? It's on your side. God went into his side and pulled Eve out of his side. Pulled Eve out of his side. And I've just been thinking about this idea. It's not good for man to be alone. And it had to do with the side. And again, this is all coming to me here just in the last day. So the part of these communion meditations is we're talking about some things that I've been meditating on over the last little bit. But God pulls Eve out of Adam's side. It's not good for man to be alone. And it says here, talking about men and women in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the two will become one flesh, and he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. So I think it's this idea. Jesus's side is pierced. It's this sudden flow of blood, water, all these connections to the spirit, where the Holy Spirit is what? He's sent to come alongside you. The Holy Spirit, I think the word is paraclete in the Greek, where it talks about this idea of the Holy Spirit is the paraclete. He's the one that comes alongside you. And God has given us the spirit, the blood, the water. And these are some deeper things. I've still been meditating on these concepts. But the big theme is that because Jesus was pierced on his side, if you look in Isaiah 53, verse 5, I believe it is, it says he was pierced for our transgressions. That word transgression means our rebellion. All the way that we've turned away from God being at our side and turned away from God wanting to be by our side. He was pierced for that, to redeem that, to restore that, where God is back at our side again. So you think about when you go about your day today and you're going out, as we talk about often, to execute the things that you know to do. You're in your normal day and you're executing the things that you know to do. God is by your side. You've got the Holy Spirit. You've got God. That Jesus redeemed this for us. That as we go about our day executing, God's by our side. I'm thinking of a story one time. I had a pastor that's local here in town. He's an excellent Bible teacher. he was talking about how he was out one time and he was out like throwing rocks or throwing sticks into a creek. And he just had this sensation that God was saying to him, you know what? Hey, I'd like to go do that with you. I'd like to just go throw rocks and sticks into the creek and just go do that with you. And this idea of just simple connectedness, think about husband and wife. They talk about you're by my side. We're doing this together. It's not good for man to be alone. We were meant to live a life connected with God. And then I want you to think about taking that connectedness, taking that togetherness, that unity that's there, and taking that with you out into the world to get more connected and joining yourself and walking side by side with the people around you in your everyday life. And I think in your everyday relationships, if you'll make it your goal to walk with God by your side and then take that out with you, where you go walk side by side with other people, not that you're in front of them, not that you're behind them, you're walking side by side. I'm just thinking of this verse when I think it's Genesis 15:1, where God promises Abraham, I'm going to be your shield and I'm going to be your great reward. And I believe that Hebrew word for great reward is sakar, which means I'm going to be among you as one who serves. I'm going to be with you. God promises, I'm going to be with you. I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. I'm going to stay by your side. Think about the marriage vows, through for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, for through thick and thin. I'm going to be by your side. So as we take communion today, just this simple but powerful concept, Jesus was pierced in his side so we can have the Holy Spirit come alongside of us. We got God, Jesus, all three of them there by our side with us in everything that we do. So every time we take communion, we do so with just holy awe, just reverence and honor and delight for Jesus, for God, what they've done for us. And that now, because he was pierced, that specific part of it, that he was pierced for our transgressions, for our rebellion, so that now he's by our side. And every time we take communion, we're taking the sacrifice of Jesus that happened a long time ago, and we're making it active and relevant right now in this present moment in our life, where we're going to be receiving this, that he's by our side. We're going to make it active and relevant and alive in our lives. And we're going to begin to take him into our lives. We're going to make this active and relevant in our lives from this point on going forward. It's going to change the trajectory of our life going forward from today, that he's by my side in everything that I do. Heavenly Father, we thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he gave thanks for it. And he blessed it. Father, we bless this bread. And he said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So if you have your bread, you can go ahead and take your bread. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He gave thanks for it. Father, we thank you for this cup. We bless it in Jesus' name. And Jesus said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins of many. I'm just reminded of right now, I'm reading through the book of Acts just the other day, and the angel appears to the disciples. I believe they're in prison. He breaks them out of the prison. I believe it's Peter and John. And he tells them, go tell everybody the message about this new way of life. Go tell everybody the message. Go teach them the message about this new way of living. And what's this new way of living? God's with you. He's by your side. He's in your service. He's among you as one who serves to help you, to equip you, to do life with you. He'll go throw rocks and sticks in the creek with you if that's what you want to do. That you've got this new covenant. God is by your side in everything you do. Go tell people the message of this new way of living. Father, we thank you for this cup and what it represents. If you have your juice, you can take your juice now. So like I said, every time we take communion, it's meant to be a turning point, to change, to turn the tables, to change the trajectory going forward. But now we got to walk it out. How are we going to do that? Stay present in the present moment today as you go through your day. And aware of his presence with you, that he's by your side. And we're going to start to walk in this from this point on in our lives going forward. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, we've got a whole series of courses and emails that guide you step by step through the whole program that we have. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in that, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.